two scripture references up there today. And I had the wrong one set up here. First one comes out of 1 John, the fourth chapter. It's the epistle lesson for today. And it's just a few verses. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, this is how you will recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God, and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. We go on with the next one. Went a little bit farther there, but back in the Gospel of John, this is the upper room. We've looked at this once before, but it was the gospel that I picked for today also. John, just a regular Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. With every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. A man remains in me, and I in him. He will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It will be given to you. And I'm just going to quit right there for the moment. Children, would like to invite you to come down. Oh, and Brian, I need a dad today. Thanks for volunteering. You'll get candy, don't worry. I promise, I'll get you candy, Brian. All right. We got somebody's dad up here today, don't we? Yeah, good, good. He's going to represent me today. I'm sorry. You know, got to do this. All right. He's going to represent me today. And he's got two daughters in there right now. Two daughters. All right. And I want to show you, my oldest daughter would sometimes, as she got bigger and bigger and bigger, somebody would ask her to go to a dance or go to something. And he would have to come over to the house and pick her up. So I would sit there. You say, Dad, talk to your dad. Pretend you're talking to him. This boy wants to take me out. And you know what I would say as a dad? Perfect one. Well done. Second question. I picked the right father. He's taking it right out of my mouth. And what time are you going to be? There we go. That's the same thing. He's listened. Either that or it's in all fathers' hearts, one way or the other. So now you knew he had to know Jesus. What was the second one?
You better know Jesus.
You better, or else I'll
make him know Jesus.
Shoot him. All right. And you better get home on time. Then the girl would go over here, and the dad would sit at home taking care of the other kids, and mom, wait, go sit down. There you go. You pretend you got a boyfriend there next to you. Try to behave yourself, okay? I don't know if this is too mature, but Brian's getting it for sure. Every father and every mother's getting it for sure. I honestly, if that girl did not show up exactly at 9, 10, 11, or whatever, 12, she said she was coming home, do you know what I honestly did? I got in the
car
and went.
Go find her. Him.
Yeah. Angry. Not at her alone, but at him. Do you know what else I did? I said, if you're on the date and you're uncomfortable and you don't like this guy anymore, you can call me anytime. Even if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing or a place you shouldn't be, I won't care. I want you to call. Can you remember that? That's what I taught her. And I'm just an earthly dad. And all of your dads and moms love you guys that much. Okay? Now, one of the things that God wants you to understand is that he's watching over you too. Now, I want you to notice, pretend she was over here in trouble, and Dad, she calls Dad, Dad, I need your help. Can she see Dad? No. Can she talk to him? Yes. Dad gets up, jumps in the car, drives to know where she is, and he makes sure she's okay. And if the guy needs a punch in the nose, and he picks her up or he lifts her up and takes her home where she belongs. All right? She is so bright pink, I love it. She's getting it all. It's going to be worse than you think, kid. You're number one. Anyone that's ever had brothers and sisters know number one gets out the door really, really hard. He saved you. Here's the verse in this Bible. I want you to listen for it in the sermon. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, I couldn't exactly put somebody inside of her because I wouldn't know how to show that. But I go, greater is he that takes care of me. In this case, who was taking care of her? Her dad. Greater is he that takes care of me than the guy who's trying to be a jerk or whose house I want to leave. So I just gave a call, but you don't quite call God on the phone. How do we call God? We pray. We pray. I called God, and he came like my dad, and he took care of the guy that needed the bop in the nose or whatever is needed. Now, in my sermon, I want you to listen, because this is the way it's said in there. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes the one in the world isn't just a bad boyfriend. Sometimes the one in the world is Satan himself, who's ruining your life. And God whispers to you, you can call me or pray to me no matter what, anytime. All right? Because he says, I will guard, watch over you, and protect you. Can you remember that? What's that, hon? With, yes, yes, with his angels, that's right. And I was going to have one dad stand up, and then I was going to say, who would help me if I really needed the help? And I would bet there'd be a lot of other dads and moms standing up, we'll do what we have to do. And I go, that's the nature. So that's the sermon for today. You already got it all. So you just listen for that one part, and when I shout out a question, if I do, you shout it out, okay? So greater, he that is in me, than he that is in the good. One more time. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the good. Well done, you guys. All right, I'd like to tell you girls first, but dads get to go first today because he was such a good dad and he got all the answers. Wait, Dad first. Dad first. Thank you for doing that. Girls next. Go ahead. You're welcome, honey. You never know how, illustrations like that. That was basically serious. I pretty much sent my girls out with that kind of encouragement opportunity because guys were like me. Therefore, I knew what she was up against, okay? And so it became, and I was quite serious. I mean, if they came home 1 minute late, I was driving out of the driveway or wherever I happened to be. And they knew quite seriously. And that boyfriend knew he was in serious trouble, okay? And the only thing I required as they got a little older, obviously, is if there was something that had come up or a situation, they had to give me a call early enough for me to say yes or no. But, Dad, can we stay an extra half hour because the movie's not over yet or something like that? And I would try to be as gracious with that as I could. But those kids are loved. I mean, you've spent, if you're a parent, you've spent the first 5, 10, 15 years of your life doing everything from changing their diapers to putting food in their mouth, running them to the doctor's offices, bandaging the scrapes on their knees, trying to teach them to be motivated to be nice, loving, kind, and everything else that you can be motivated to do as a mother or a father. And there is nothing more precious than this child because nothing else you have in your life is as eternal as the life of your son or your daughter. Nothing else by comparison has any value. The car you can blow up, the house you can burn down, everything else in your life has got zero ultimate value. I mean, we don't want to burn cars up or houses down, but you begin to understand they have zero value compared to the preciousness of the life, the heart, the soul, the sexuality, the personhood of this child who God has given me to watch over and take care of. And so we have a sense of this understanding. Now you have to feel that as a mom or a dad, and you'll understand now how we get into this section, particularly in 1 John, as he's writing to what is it like for the kids he loves. I'll speak of the people that he's writing to as his children, the kids he loves, because he starts off the line there, in 1 John chapter 4, dear friends, but it really in Greek is beloved ones. My beloved, the ones who I have sold myself out to love, take care of, nurture, and protect. My beloved. That's an important understanding because it sets the tone and the warning. Because here's a dilemma. John understands things that his daughter doesn't know. Here's a daughter going out. She thinks guys are basically nice. Any girl want to break out laughing? Please feel free to do so. Okay? Not that they're all bad. I don't want to be that foolish either. But I do want you to understand situations creep in. And there are more than one person they may be exposed to. He might be a very nice guy, but the guy's house they're going to may not be nice at all. I might be able to trust him, but in this situation, she's going to be unguarded or unprotected. And so here is John, like a dad, talking to people who he calls his beloved, and he's calling them out, and he's saying, you've got to learn to recognize evil and wickedness when it shows itself. You got to figure out, like Brian's great line, is he a Christian? Pull out his gun, is he really a Christian? I understood what that meant. I go, make sure you understand that very, very significant. It means I am guarding my daughter's purity, her personhood, her salvation, everything. And guess who gave me the job? God did. All right? So now I pick this up in John. Dear friends, do not believe every guy you meet. Oh, I'm sorry, it says spirit. All right? Men have spirits too. You understand that? Some of them are sweet, some of them are nice, some of them are honest, some of them are sincere. Some are so two-faced you can't tell which end is up. They say that you can date some guy who's hooked on certain things, and it may take you a year or two to even find that out or discover it. Okay? So here's your dilemma. How do I take this Christian, or in my case, the illustration of this daughter, who thinks she knows all there is to know about life, people, guys, and everything else, and I say this, you're going to have to test the Spirit. You've got to understand this word Spirit has got kind of a double meaning, and they blend perfectly together. One, obviously, refers to demonic spirit or Holy Spirit. You've got to test which one he is or she is, if you reverse the illustration a little bit. So it can be the spirit or a spiritual kind. It's also what we would call the attitude or the way a person is wired. All right? A spirit has to do with this concept of how they end up doing what they do, how much self-control they really have, how much faithfulness is really in them, how much can you absolutely trust them. That's their spirit. All right? So like a father telling this daughter, you have to learn how to recognize these qualities or you're going to get taken. You're going to get used. You're going to get abused. You're going to be all those kinds of things. He said, you have to test. It's a command. Test the spirits. Figure out what's going on there, okay? Test the spirits and see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are a lot of nasty guys or girls, both. It doesn't have to be singular, one side or the other, out there that will lie to you, deceive you, manipulate you, take your money, use your body, and walk away. Okay? Why did Brian start? Is he a Christian? I want to know what spirit he has running through him. I want to know how the guy is wired. Is he just talk or is he real? Okay? Because he's just talk. He said, I will come and get him. Now, I know that was illustration, but I think it was half real too. But you begin to understand, I will come and get him. So here we are, and he's repeating this to the people, and they have to listen to this because they're getting it. You understand? He goes on, this is how you can recognize whether the person's spirit is of God or not. Now, you have to understand, the guy they were dating were what were called the Gnostics at the time. The Gnostics were convinced that spirit was good, skin, body, flesh, material stuff was evil. And so that Jesus never really came to earth in the flesh, that he was a spirit. They created this body for him to sneak into. He snuck into it for a little while, then left, and then they crucified the body of Jesus on the cross. And that was a whole theology out there. It was destroying and attacking the Christians of the day. It was as undermining as, don't you love me? Don't you want to find out what it really is like? And all the other lines you've either used or had used on you in your life. And I'm going, here was John, trying to help them understand. Recognize the falseness of who this person is right away. And so he points that out. It says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh. All right? Why does he make that big deal? For you and I, we go, well, of course he came in the flesh. I believe in Virgin Mary had a baby. It was Jesus. He lived, he died, he rose again. They didn't. People were lying to him. They didn't have John necessarily at their shoulder all the time to give them guidance. All right? I have to call God. I have to call John. I got to figure out whether this person I'm hanging with or who's hanging with me is righteous, unrighteous, or right from the pit, or just faking it. Yeah, I'm a Christian too. Aren't you a Christian? We're all Christians, right? Because that can happen for all of us. And what you really have is a perfect hypocrite. That's why you get moms and dads. That's why you get Christian friends to see through it. I used to love teaching high school kids because every once in a while, you'd have a guy date a girl date a guy, and they got used and taken for granted, and the rumor goes, comes scooting up to the top, and we hit a topic, and you start to go, now, how many of you have ever had your hearts broken? The hands go up, and I go, how many of you were told ahead of time this guy will break your heart or this girl will break your heart. Hands go up. How many of you refused to bring him home so that your parents could check him out to see if she was any good? Hands go up again. I said, have you learned anything or are you still dumb daters? It's hard. Why? Because I have to acknowledge, God, I'm not smart enough to know the difference sometimes. I really am relatively easy to deceive. You get a pretty enough girl, a warm enough opportunity, and a little bit of privacy, and I can be deceived myself by my own nastiness, not to mention by all the lies that I've been watching on TV or hearing in the music I listen to or all the other things. And you begin to understand, listening to God is no small task. I command you, figure out what spirit is in the person you're dealing with. All right? Who he or she is emotionally, attitudinally, behaviorally. Do they belong to me or don't they? Then you know how to respond. You can sit over there. We have this kind of relationship. It doesn't go anywhere beyond that. And you figure that out. So he goes, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But, here's the hard part, the spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now, it's not just acknowledging Jesus like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Everybody believes in Jesus, right? I mean, the different groups of individuals all believe in some level of Jesus. I go, after all, the Mormons believe in Jesus. Lucifer's spiritual brother, and he started somewhere at a distant planet. They believe in Jesus, not your Jesus, not the Jesus of Scripture. That's why the Brian goes, is he really a Christian? Which Jesus does he believe in? You pick another one, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe Jesus was the Archangel Michael. And you go, no, yes. That's why they don't believe and follow Jesus at all, the way you do. And you begin to go, here's John writing this so that these people, which Jesus does he really say he believes in? Or you can pick up a little guru or something like that, and he can say, Jesus, oh yes, I'll connect with him. Oh, great time traveler and one who's gone before and great wisdom leader. That's the Jesus he believes in. And they go, can he use the same term? Yes. Can he deceive people with it? Absolutely. Can I buy into it? Of course you can. Well, you begin to recognize these are the qualities, or you can just believe what the Muslims believe about Jesus. He was a very good man. He was a very good prophet, but he died. And that's it. He isn't God, and he's not God's son. And you begin to go, is it really that hard to discern sometimes? Yes. People can get pulled in. And these are just four of the little ones that I don't even start to talk about, newer ones that we've got going. They get pulled in real easy. The same way a girl can be talked sweet to or a guy can be manipulated by a girl. I always joked about it. How many of your girls are looking for a guy that'll take you to prom and then dump him? And they go, they didn't want to raise their hands. Then I reverse it. How many guys after prom got dumped by a girl you thought was really serious about you? Boom, their hands would go up. And it went true for homecoming and other things. And I go, I actually created a date that said, this is a group date. You'd have to have at least two couples or three couples. No, three couples, it was more than. And that was called a group date. And you could dance with any one of the guys that were there on that group date. And I said, don't make people think you really care more about them. Just go to and have fun. Enjoy it. So for homecoming or anything else, they could do those things. But it's because I knew the heart of people. We have this ability to kid ourselves, deceive ourselves. I just don't like Jesus of the Bible. Can I find a different Jesus? Sure, connect, fold your legs, cross. Jesus. Well, beautiful connection is made with the demonic. Okay? And so you begin to understand, here's what he's trying to communicate with them. It says, this isn't just spirit that's not from God. This is the spirit of anti-Christ, anti-Messiah. Remember, Christ is not just the person. It's the whole testimony of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, promised from Genesis throughout the Old Testament, who would die and save his people from their sins. Are you a believer in Jesus, the Messiah, as the Messiah, the true Messiah? And that became that focus. And it goes on, the spirit of Antichrist is coming and now is already in the world. That's why I go, please understand, guys and girls have been lying to each other from the beginning on. All right? Here's the other truth. Spiritually, Satan has been out to destroy you, your family, your marriage, your children, and your children's children from the very beginning. What does he say here? He says, these people are Antichrist, and they have that already, that spirit is already in the world. You, dear children, you guys, Brian, look at this. Now you understand, as he points to his own daughter, you, dear children, and again, notice the tenderness. This is my precious ones. This is my, like your godson or goddaughter, or your, you know, that you just hold them that close. It's just a beautiful, refreshing kind of tenderness word. You, our dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Now here it comes, the verse, and it goes on. Because the one who is in you, kids, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Well done. Thank you. Now you begin to understand the battle. I have a dad at home that can rescue me from any temptation. I have a dad at home that'll punch the lights out of any guy or girl that's trying to destroy me. Here's where it gets even tougher. I have a dad that can rescue me from drinking. I have a dad who can rescue me from immorality. I have a dad who can rescue me from compromise. I have a dad who can rescue me from anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. I have a dad who is waiting for just permission to come and step in to that situation. Just call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You're hearing a dad's heart for his precious daughter, or in our case, his precious child or children, and he's letting you know, you can trust me. I am greater than anyone and anything else you're facing. The reason you're being defeated, you never called your dad. You never left the party when you should have called them the moment you walked into it. The moment you trusted people that your spirit said don't trust, you should have walked away. And so God whispers to you, I cannot run your life that way unless you ask. I am there. And in this case, he's sitting in the back seat of the car or in the chair right next to her, waiting for her or him to say, Jesus, help me. And so you begin to understand this point. He goes on from there and it says, they are from the world. There's other that other group of people that it's us and the they. And therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world. They sound just like the world. They make the world sound good. I mean, a man's a man, you know, the bees and the flowers, you know, bees have got to go from pollinate flower to flower to flower to flower. You kind of go, what? You have to watch The King and I to learn that one, the song, never mind. But you begin to understand. We have all kinds of lies we're capable. And he goes, they talk the language of the world. If it feels good, do it. If you don't like it or you fed up with him, dump her, get divorced, do this, do that. Why? That's the way the world talks. That's what everybody in the world will sound like, or a very stupid, non-believing Christian, or a Christian who has given up their walk with the Lord and is deteriorating into the nothingness that we're all capable of. We, however, he goes on in verse 6, there are from God, and whoever knows God listens. They can hear us. There are people listening, either online or in this church, that get what I'm saying, and others who don't get it at all. You can be that 14, 15, 17, 19-year-old girl who thinks I'm so much smarter than my mother and my father and. And I go, no, you're not. You're not smarter than God. God's got this guy figured out for the last 10, 20, 30 years of his life. He can tell you anything you want to know about that guy. And so you begin to recognize, it says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever does not know, is not from God, does not listen to us. This is how we recognize whether a person has the spirit of truth. Are you really a believer or not? Does he really have the spirit of truth? Or is he just the spirit of, or she the just the spirit of falsehood? And you begin to go, is that how simple this is? Yes! It's not any more complicated. And yet, God is offering that power, that rescue, that healing in every situation. And so this sectional section finishes with the part there at the bottom. Dear friends, beloved again. Beloved, let's love one another. Kids, love your parents. Parents, love your kids. And figure out what love really means. You don't get to define it. God has. Yeah, well, if a mother loves her kid, then she... No. What does God say a mother's heart should be? We're heading toward Mother's Day next weekend. What does God say a father's heart should be? Well, I have a right to provoke my kids to anger. Well, let's see. I read that in the Bible this morning. Now, fathers, do not do that to your children. Don't give them a reason not to trust you. Don't give them a reason to follow in your wickedness or your foolishness. And you begin to go on and on and on. Now, are there any perfect mothers? I thought we might get one of those. I don't know. You know, my, I always said my mom was, but that's because she was baking lunch, so I wanted to be invited over. So. I don't think there's any perfect father. That's not the excuse, though. The challenge is, I am God's man. I need to be, like it says here, motivated by the spirit of God, not the spirit of the world. Love one another, it says in verse 7. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This is a test. This is not, are you warm and fuzzy and mushy? Can you not keep your hands off me? Can you just talk about how good I look? Can you do all that kind of gobbledygook? And all you want to do is kiss and hug? Or do you really see me as the person I am, the man, the woman that I am in Jesus Christ? Do you understand what that really means? Do you see me as God sees me? Do you love me the way God loves me? Husbands, love your wives the same way Jesus, God, loved the church and gave up his life for her. That's not written for fun. It's written because we're so stupid. Every one of us has been a 14, 17, 21-year-old girl or guy on some date believing some stupid stuff some guy or girl said to us along the way. And we look back and I go, I thought we had a relationship. Shows how much you knew. Okay? And then you can even become, if you're in high school particularly, the joke down in the locker room. And you go, how did I get myself in this situation? And the answer comes back, do you want to be rescued even from this now? All of this compromise you've dragged into your life. I am still your dad. I'll still rip somebody's head off if I need to and come to guard and watch over you. So very important stuff that's going on between John and the people here with the people that were around him. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. He's not emotion. He's not a bunch of feelings. He is commitment to you. I am committed to saving you, rescuing you, getting you into heaven with whatever it's going to take. That's how you know I love you. I gave up my son for you so that you would have a way made for you to make it into heaven. And you begin to understand that's the promise that he makes to that girl, no matter how smart or stupid he or she has been. That's the promise he makes to you and me as he goes on and he finishes. This is how God showed his love for you. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I stopped there. But you begin to recognize, here's the message of the gospel. It's as simple as a father with a dating daughter. It's as simple as, I want to kill the kid that took her for granted or abused her. Or I want her back home if she's failing or she's not remaining strong or she's getting sweet talked to by the first good-looking guy that comes along. And all that stuff that goes through fathers' and mothers' minds. You all begin to understand that. Why? Because you know the heart of the enemy. Because you know how they don't love your child. You know how Satan really feels. If I can kill your daughter, I will. Who in their right mind is a father would let anyone date somebody like that. Well, you can't see that all the time because he disguises himself. Every wolf that comes into the church, it says, disguises himself in sheep's clothing. He looks like he might be among you, but inside he's a ravenous wolf. And he will spare no one. No marriage is sacred. No family is sacred. Nobody's health is sacred. Nobody's lifeline is sacred. Nobody's child. Nobody's grandchild. I will kill and destroy them all. Know your enemy. Paul stands up, looking like a father, going, I need to tell you these things, dear. I want to know. Check. Make sure he's really a Christian. Ask his friends. Ask where he goes to church. Find out what that really means. Then investigate it. Test it out. Don't believe anybody that comes and tells you anything for a relatively long period of time. And thirdly, be ready to call your dad anytime you need him. And you go, that's the faithfulness of God in the sermon. And it's not any different than a father's heart for his child and for his son or for his daughter. And I assume the same heart, as far as I can tell, has been in mothers from time immemorial on also. Everything I can do to make your child hate you, I will do, Satan goes. Everything I can do to undermine your marriage, I will do, Satan goes. Because I hate God. I hate Jesus. I hate the Messiah. I hate salvation. I hate what God has done for you. And I hate the fact that you are, here kids, more than conquerors, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Pray with me. Lord, give us the kind of father and mother heart that's needed to stand our ground, to fight our fight, to do our battle. Give kids, parents, friends, acquaintances the vulnerability to listen to good counsel, to hear what people around us who love us and treasure us are trying to say to us. Give us an ability, Lord, to recognize the lies and deceptions, whether it's the Gnostics at the time John wrote the letter, or for us in all of the lies and deceptions from music to TV to movies to friends, acquaintances, to all the compromise of life in the world around us. Set us free, Lord, to be your people, to walk with great integrity. Either make us good listeners or give us the courage to be good counselors and people who know what it means to walk alongside or fight with our brothers and sisters for the salvation and life of the precious children that you've poured into our care, Lord. Come and bless us all. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.